2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by those fancy folks over at DFSTarmer.com. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 148.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, I don't know, man. We've been talking for, I don't know, probably about an hour before we hit the record button on this damn thing. How is life, bro?
34 minutes and 45 seconds, actually.
Really? we really got to know each other on this pre-pod here, if you will.
Yeah,
if we could have only hit the record button before then.
Yeah, I wouldn't be putting that one out. no, man, it's been a couple days.
We got chicks' birthdays. We got freaking adopting puppies. We got a whole shenanigans thing.
Who's adopting the puppy?
The blindfolded one.
Oh, okay. I haven't got to the puppy thing because I've yet to put my wife back on the waiting list for the one that she wants, which her birthday is coming up next month. So,
snap.
I need to start looking into that again.
Instead of a Pudgy the Whale ice cream cake, we can get a dog. How about that?
A Pudgy the Whale ice cream cake?
Whoa. First of all, it's Fudgy the Whale. Only us Easterners know about this. So Fudgy the Whale, it's more or less a chocolate ice cream cake in the shape, of course, of a whale. But you get half vanilla, half chocolate, and then you get a lot of those I don't know if you've ever had this, but it's like marble candies in the middle. Oh, it's fantastic, dude.
You do realize that my wife just had a baby like 13 months ago, so anything with the word whale in it is probably not smart for me.
Well, it's a cake, you know.
It doesn't matter. That's even worse right now.
Delicious. Cakes are delicious.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's great. But, you know, whale and cake don't mix with a wife that's trying to, you know, lose the baby weight.
See, you're looking at this the whole wrong way, right? Like, How is cake any time of bad thing?
Because if you want to get a girl, especially my wife, some sweets, you do it with like chocolate-covered strawberries or little chocolate truffles, stuff that is not like hugely like, you know, fattening, you know, where she can eat one or two at a time. She doesn't have to have a whole piece.
See, like you took this on a whole different route. By the way, I got to give a shout-out to the New York Mets. Thank you for sucking so bad. I got all my best friends in shambles right now. I love that. And then I also got to wish a happy 31st birthday to Brittany Bocchino of Bayonne, New Jersey right now. She's in work holding it down for all the working ladies out there. Happy birthday to her today. But that is how this day is going.
Happy birthday, Brittany, by the way. I know you have no idea who the hell I am, but you know what? I know from the conversation before the pod who you are. So he has nothing but very nice things to say about you.
What a guy. What a wingman. Now, you know, if the roles were reversed, I totally would have been very smooth about it. I'd be like, oh, baby, that Fudgy the Whale cake is going to look great on you. That's how I would have rolled with it, but
yeah. But anyway, see, I know my wife enough to know that right now, with the current state that she's in, trying to lose the baby weight, or the rest of the baby weight, that buying a cake for her is probably not a good thing. I didn't even buy her chocolates of any sort on Mother's Day because I knew she was getting them from other. Well, yeah, but I dropped $200 on a freaking Fitbit. So, I mean,
Fitbits are pretty goddamn expensive. I'll be honest with you. Now, we were talking about this too. I actually bought one on the hot black market. Now, if you're here in Jersey, yes, they do fall off the back of the truck, but
you got to be around the truck in order to get it.
Technology is a little more expensive here in New Jersey. Let's just say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that. Well,
but we also I don't get know them. If it would... We also get them a little sooner than the rest of the country.
I don't know if it would be now with you being able to buy everything offline. I mean, well, I could see like 10 years ago when online shopping wasn't as big, but now where
that's if you do your shopping online.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying now.
I go to Vito on the corner, you know?
You're going Vito, over to
Vito and Hoboken.
I say you're going over to Javier out of the back of a truck. I got
Vito
you
and
now.
Hoboken. Vito and Hoboken. Always a random fellow of mine. Very good. All right, so happy birthday, Brittany. We had the Mother's Day this weekend going on. We did not have the podcast yesterday. That is all my fault. I had a bit of a headache yesterday, so that we'll let that go to the side there. But today
Friday was my fault, so
that is true. That is true. We are back here on this Tuesday, so we're gonna get to a whole lot of things here. We have two afternoon games, which we're probably not going to touch here, but a 13 game slate here, which we have a lot to get to. But let's just get right down to the nuts and the bolts. We're talking about pitchers on this one. We got plenty of them. So when I look at this slate, right, I know that we got Dallas Keuchel. He's the man's man in this one here. But we also got Steven Strasburg in this one here. So we all know Keuchel, Strasburg. This is the 1-2 in this one. Who you got here?
I'm going Keuchel.
All right.
Just because he's shown. I mean, early season right now, he's got to be your Cy Young Award leader in the AL, right? I mean, it's very hard to kind of go against it. Yeah, in the AL. It's kind of very hard to go against it. He's been amazing so far. I mean, he's taking out Rich Hill, who always has a blister. We never know what exactly is going to happen with him. And taking out Andrew Triggs, who has less than 100 innings in the majors over the last 18 months. I mean, he's number two right there with Steven Strasburg. And it's a pretty wide gap. The reason I say that, yeah, Strasburg has the better matchup. But I don't think it's not like the Marlins are killing the ball right now. Right. You know, outside of Marcell Ozuna, they're not hitting that well. I mean, Keuchel's got a 58% ground ball rate. Strasburg's 42. I mean,
Keuchel just doesn't throw balls in the strike zone. That's his thing.
No,
right?
And he never has.
He just doesn't do it. He's like, strike zone, fuck it. I don't do it. Whatever. I'm done.
And he never has, and he's always got you fishing. And if you're telling me who's more likely to allow – you know, we've seen glimpses of this Pirates offense coming around at times, but
glimpses.
if you tell me now, who has the higher strikeout upside? It's Strasburg, and there's no question about it. You know, the difference between the Marlins and the Pirates strikeout rate versus their handedness of pitching that they're facing tonight is not astronomical. It's like 1.6%. So. Yeah, if we're talking strikeout upside, I give the edge to Strasburg. But if we're talking pure, like, less chance for cash games, less chance to blow up, I'm willing to take Keuchel, and I'm willing to stack against Strasburg before I'm willing to stack against Keuchel. I mean, I might take Ozuna or, like, an Ozuna Stanton in a little mini stack against Keuchel. But I'm not going a full-on four or five stack on them.
You know what's interesting about all the pitching options tonight is that they're actually on the road. So We got
Keuchel, all the good ones are.
Who is at Miami? We got Strasburg, who is at Pittsburgh. I feel like E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez, who is at St. Louis. Your boy Kyle Freeland, who I definitely want to get to. I want to get to the other side of that matchup too when we get there.
Did you talk about Yu Darvish?
Well, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. But I think we got a lot of guys here that are on the road. So Keuchel, who we're gonna have priced normally, but you got to look at the fact that he's going into the NL Park. He's not going to have to deal with the DH. He's going to get the NL pitcher. But here's something that I've been noticing myself. Pitchers aren't striking out pitchers. I don't know what the deal is, but pitchers
are walking them.
They're being pain in the asses to each other. Like no pitchers.
Too cute.
No pitchers are striking out any more pitchers. And how about Perdomo last night? He roped a triple and then he got a double in the gap. I don't know what it is. So I guess these guys, you know, going into the NL Parks aren't as great as we thought they were. You know, maybe they look great on paper, but it's very funny to see these guys not striking out pitchers. And I've done this plenty of times where, you know, let's just say a guy like Perdomo last night, I'm like, I'm definitely going to him because he gets to pick on the pitcher twice. Guess what? The guy pops up or, you know, he pops up to, you know, center field or second base, whatever the case is. But it's kind of a pain in the ass because, you know, that's why I'm going with the guy like Perdomo. We're going to have to see what happens tonight. But again, a guy like Keuchel, I think that plays certainly well to his case. I mean, if you watch Keuchel on a regular basis, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of talking about him today, he doesn't put any balls in the strike zone and people swing at it. It's awesome to kind of watch it. We'll talk about
the dude
hitters.
Knows how to pitch.
Oh my God. I mean, you take a look at his numbers. What is he? 5-0 or 6-0. The ERA is, you know, just under 2. The whip is under 1. I mean, he's doing everything right. Everything is looking pure for him. So
he looks I would go so far to say is he actually looks better than he did 2 years ago when he won the Cy Young.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. He looks absolutely amazing. And, you know, as I have in my notes today, he is the Cy Young winner right now for the AL. So
oh, absolutely. And I can't even think of anybody that would even be remotely close off the top of my head.
It is truly a joy to watch him pitch. Again, like he doesn't put balls in the strike zone and people go after them. Yeah. I just want to say this. Like, I guess as a hitter, like, you kind of get impatient and you kind of have to go after something, right? Well, that's the thing. Keuchel doesn't really. He doesn't cater to these hitters. He throws it down low and he says, if you want to go get it, go get it.
His walk rate is still, even if you don't chase, quote unquote, he's still got a 21% K percentage. His swing and strike rate's not great, but it's not bad. It's right there at a 9.9 over the last 18 months. But his walk percentage is only 6.7. That's the third lowest on the slate. I mean, you sit there and you look at it and it's, you're looking at it like, well, what are the negatives of going? Let's break these two guys down, and actually, let's throw in a couple more. Okay,
and we haven't even talked about Strasburg yet.
Well, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna compare. Let's compare because I think that unlike last night, where pitching was just here, let's throw a dart and let's see what happens.
Very true.
I think there's some very, very, very interesting options tonight. I'm not going to put in Kyle Freeland because, you know, he's got the highest ground ball percentage on the slate, the lowest fly ball percentage other than Clayton Richard, you know, the highest infield.
Rashard. You know, from Montreal.
He's got the best soft contact – or he's got one of the better soft contact rates on the slate. I mean, so taking Kyle Freeland out of this because he's more of a contact type pitcher. Okay, so we've got Yu Darvish, Zach Greinke, who has looked better. Amazing. He's looked a lot better than he did last year. Dallas Keuchel, Steven Strasburg, and let's I'm tempted to throw him in there. Why not? Throw in Eduardo Rodriguez, okay?
The bottom tier of that, yes.
Yeah, that'd be, like, if you want to talk about your five that are, you know, that you have to choose from in cash.
I mean, we are talking about the pitchers.
Yeah, if you want to talk about your five that you have to choose from in cash, I think those are your five options.
All right.
I mean, if you want to go for strikeouts, it's going to be Yu Darvish or Steven Strasburg, okay? If you want to try to go for depth, you know, getting, you know, a good value on DK or FanDuel, and I haven't looked at their price, but where you can get the innings pitched with the less likelihood of getting blown up and getting that quality start or that complete game shutout or even the complete game, I think that's where you have to go with a guy like Dallas Keuchel. And if you're looking for just pure raw upside, I mean, and maybe even at a lower ownership percentage, I think that's where you go with Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got a couple of different options here. I mean, we got to talk about Strasburg, right? Because the Pirates have just absolutely sucked. And
he's, you know, owned them. Didn't when he came up and made his major league debut.
But yes, by the way,
wasn't that Strasburg, against him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Against the Pirates at Nationals Park.
Now I understand that it was a different Pirates team. It was years ago, but that's not the point.
He likes
pitching against the
it's sentimental value here.
Exactly.
For Mr. Strasburg. But again, you got a Pirates team who's throwing a lot of righties out there, right? You know, your lefties, who are they going to be? Polanco, Jaso, Adam Frazier, guys like that. Guys that are certainly not going to
Josh Bell.
Yeah, certain guys that are not going to knock your socks off. If they get a hold of the ball, great. It's PNC Park. So, you know, again, it's not the greatest hitter's park in the world. But, again, you know, you have a great matchup here for Strasburg. Again, just in such a great pitcher's park. We're talking about Keuchel here, and, you know, he's great with the pitches, but Strasburg is kind of different where he'll challenge you. He'll come at you in the strike zone. So, you know, you kind of have to make a choice between yourself today. Well, you know, I guess if you're doing multiple lineups, you really don't have to. But, you know, if you do, you know, like me, between the two, are you going to dance around people or are you going to go right at people? You know me. I'm going to come right in your face. I want to do this. So I feel like Strasburg's more my kind of guy in this situation where I want to go with the strikeouts. I just want to get nasty with people. And I like that. I like what Strasburg brings to the table. So
here's a question. Because we talk a lot about Strasburg and how he has to have the optimal, you know, conditions for every aspect of how he pitches. The weather is going to be in Pittsburgh. Let's see here. Pretty good. 85, you know, 40%, you know. But what I'm saying is it's not going to be too hot, you know, where Strasburg, like, expends all this energy and, you know, because as that's something we'll talk about later, but as we start getting to the dog days of summer in places like Colorado, Texas, Arizona, Arizona, they have the roof. You know, these places that have, you know, St. Louis is another one that hits it, Kansas City, that get a lot of like really extreme heat. It takes energy out of these pitchers, and so, but with Strasburg, it kind of affects him usually a little bit more than others, because he's, in my opinion, maybe not a pansy, but he's a prima donna.
Let's go with pansy since he's an NL East rival.
You can go with pansy. I'm not quite going there, but he's a prima donna. You know, he's got to have, in what I think, he's got to have the optimal environment for pitching, and you know, if anything is off, then, you know, things kind of erupt for him.
Well, here's the deal, and we've talked about this before. It's kind of an underrated you know, aspect to a lot of these pitchers, but Strasburg was not I don't even want to say good, like, he wasn't even acceptable in his last start. I forget who was last start.
I had a great night because I won a lot of money that night because I stacked against his ass.
Yeah, against Baltimore. He absolutely got ripped to shreds. But we've talked about this plenty of times where a pitcher gets ripped to shreds. I think he focuses more in that next start, making sure that that doesn't happen a second time, back to back like that. So, again, I think that actually works well for Strasburg.
And that, I think that was the same night where we were off of Yankee bats.
Orioles?
No. Let me finish. We were off of Yankee bats going against Keuchel, and we were off of Keuchel because he was in Yankee Stadium. We didn't really know how to attack it. He goes out there and throws a freaking gem. Knowing what we know and how, because everybody was on Strasburg, nobody was on Keuchel, and knowing what we know, tonight might be that night where you go, okay. And this doesn't take a lot of game theory, so I'm not saying that this is like some innovative like way of thinking, but this might just be that night where you say, okay, flip flop it, let's stack against Keuchel and play Strasburg, and because it was a complete opposite last time. I'm just saying that could be a possibility. I don't see it though.
I gotta tell you, I will never stack against Keuchel just because he's a pain in the ass and he will never throw in the strike zone, but. This whole Strasburg thing really has me thinking that, look, I love him tonight. I think he's going to do just fine against these Pirates. And double-digit strikeouts, that is certainly a possibility. So, again, that's GPP. We got a couple other pitchers that we could talk about.
Marlins are 5-for-19 with 6 strikeouts against Keuchel and no home runs. And the only current Marlin that has a batted ball event against Keuchel is Mike Avilas. It doesn't look like anybody else has put it in play.
Is he still alive?
I didn't think he was, or maybe alive, but not. I didn't think he was in the big leagues.
He's still kicking. So. He's still kicking.
And it sucks that we can't get. Well, we'll talk about him later. So, but yeah, I mean, we could sit here. And have an hour show on the differences and viabilities of playing, Keuchel over Strasburg or Strasburg over Keuchel. I honestly think here's the way I think I'm going to attack it tonight.
All right.
On FanDuel, where I can only have one, I'm going to split them.
Okay.
And the reason is because I want to be able to get some of the strikeout upside that Strasburg presents, but I also want to be able to get the quality start and the and being able to pitch deeper into the ball game that Keuchel has. I think on DraftKings, where it's more of an efficiency site, I don't think I'm going to play Strasburg.
Okay.
Because he can go out and scatter 10, 11 hits and only allow 2 runs. But if he doesn't strike out 10 and only goes 6 innings, then you're paying way too much. The salary is not worth what he produced.
I pick up what you're putting down.
The problem is that Strasburg is cheaper than Keuchel, and I can go get you Darvish and Zach Greinke for cheaper than I can Strasburg.
I'm so glad that you mentioned Hugh Darvish because, look, we're not avoiding the guy because I'm a Philly fan, but I don't think that he's in the top 3 discussion here when we're talking about Keuchel, Strasburg. And, again, a lot of people are going to go to Darvish tonight, but, again –
I think Zach Greinke is a better play just off the top of my head over Darvish.
Well, let's talk about this because a lot of people are gonna think Darvish because, again, they're going against the Phillies. But let's be honest here. I don't want to be this guy where, I don't want to be fanboy. But these Phillies have been ace killers here over the last couple of days. We've seen it against Strasburg, who we just mentioned. Max Scherzer, who just got rocked in the ankle by a freaking 108-mile-an-hour line drive. Oh, my God. They got to somebody else, too, the other day. But, again, these Phillies have some bats. And, again, we're talking about Aaron Altair, Tommy Joseph, among some of the hottest bats in baseball right now. Again, you put them in Texas, not exactly the best setting for you, Darvish. But he could get the strikeouts.
Yeah, and, he could get the strikeouts, but I mean the weather in Texas, let's see here, it's going to be 86 87 degrees, not a lot of wind. Well, the wind's blowing. Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we've talked about it. We've talked
now
about
I
it a lot.
Now I gotta go look at the wind.
Nope, wind's blowing in from right at 18 miles an hour.
Shoot it out to left.
Yup. Right-handed bats, ladies and gentlemen. Right-handed
like
bats.
It. And, well, we'll get to it on the stack side of things, but, yeah, there's a lot of right-handed bats against going against Zach Eflin, as you like to refer to him as Zach Efron. But yes, we'll get to that in the stack portion of things. So just to be clear, no Hugh Darvish tonight.
I mean, you can roll him out in some GPPs, but I'm gonna have light exposure to him.
All right.
If I'm rolling out 50, which I will, I would probably say no more than 10%. Just because it is the Phillies. You know, they do strike out almost 23% of the time against right-handed pitching, and it is Yu Darvish. The problem is that Yu Darvish didn't – he looked good, but he just had some bad luck the last game. It was one of his better visual performances, but the stats didn't back it up. But like you said, the Phillies
They're pains in the ass.
Yeah, they're pesky. You know, the pesky pills. Yeah. And
That's probably a better PC.
I would rather honestly pick on the Mets right now. The way they're going.
Oh my God. I'll pick on them any day of the week. Come on. Any time that we could put misery at their front
I'm
door.
Sorry, 3 weeks ago when everybody was clicking and hitting the ball out of the ballpark, I wasn't picking on them.
My best friend, actually, because I texted him last night, and I said, oh, my God, you thought we were going to be in last place. Look at you fools. And he finally just got back to me, and he's like, oh, my God, I don't even know what to do. And I'm just, you know, smiley face emoji, tears. Oh, my God, it's so great. Do you understand, as a Phillies fan, you know, the last couple of years, right, the Mets thought, you know, oh, we're going to the World Series.
Dude, don't even, because I'm
we're
taking –
we're going to be doing this and that, and it's like – it's so awesome. It is so awesome. I mean, you know, it's not 2007, 2008 sort of awesome, but, you know, to see them think that they were going to go to the World Series and to kind of not necessarily snatch it right from their grasp, but to watch it trickle from their fingertips, it's just as good. It is just as good.
Yeah.
And all you seven-line bastards can suck it. How about that?
I mean, you got it. You're talking about a guy that's reveling in the fact that the Giants are in last place and haven't even won 20 games yet.
I'm sorry, the fact
that we have literally held our own against the Dodgers. And do you realize that last season there were two teams that had a winning record against the Chicago Cubs?
I don't know
who one of them was, but the other one was the Rockies. That was the only thing that we had to hold our hat on last year. You know, this year, I like it. Now, I'm still not getting my hopes up. It's only May 15th, May 16th.
Right.
You know, I've seen this movie before. But I'm kind of liking it. So, and this
guys,
is all, we're doing all this without John Gray.
You guys got some good things going, which we will get to. We will get to it at some point during this podcast. Because I got to tell you, there's something that I do like about the Rockies today. Spoiler alert. All right, now, there are some decent cheap pitching options here today. E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez, who we talked a little bit about, going up against the Cardinals. He is an AL pitcher going into the NL Park. Again, avoids the DH, gets to go up against the pitcher in this one. You know, look, the Cardinals really aren't that great. They're not a team that I'm really worried about. And what's kind of interesting about this Cardinals team, they actually do their damage against right-handed pitching, not necessarily left-handed pitching. So, you know, E-Rod, who I have this in my notes today, what did I say? It's such a good line. I got to go find it. It's so good. He is – come on. Where are you, you son of a bitch? Where are you? I have him as he is the most popular sleeper.
Really? It took you all that work to find
that little quote? Yeah. Look, it's been a long morning. So, yes, that's what I had to go find. The most popular sleeper in DFS.
I've been on Eduardo Rodriguez since, well, we have since the middle of last year.
Right. But am I
now
right
he's starting right? to take, yeah, he's starting to take, he's starting to turn some heads and take notice. I mean, he's not going to be, you know, a gangbusters every single freaking time out there, but he's a younger pitcher. He's got some talent, and look, the Red Sox rotation is beat up. You know, Drew Pomeranz hasn't looked good the last couple starts.
Making me sick.
The only one, you know, David Price is still out. You know, I think he finally went on a rehab assignment. Chris Sale has been, that was the guy that could challenge Dallas Keuchel for the Cy Young, but he's the only one, and he's the only one that's looked good.
And with all the strikeouts he had, he still gave up two homers, two lefties, Logan Morrison and Kevin Kiermaier. My goodness. Come on, bro.
Yeah, but I can deal with solo shots. What I hate is where pitchers get the Tyler Chatwood at Coors syndrome, where they walk a batter, a bloop hit happens, and then a bomb. You know, that solo shots aren't going to kill me because I expect my offense – it doesn't matter. I expect a major league offense to put up three runs at least. So if I give up two solo shots and I win 3-2, then I did my job. But, you know, when we're talking about, you know, guys that have a – that's why with DK you have to pay attention to whip, because you get negative points for that. It's just something that you have to pay attention to. You're looking for low whip guys, guys that don't allow – the huge big busting innings. That's why I don't play. I play Tyler Chatwood on FanDuel. I don't play him on DraftKings because he can scatter nine hits.
Right. You know? Well, I was gonna say that too on DraftKings and fantasy draft. If you play over there, that, you know, those little things kind of matter. They matter.
Yeah, they're efficiency sites. It hurts you. Because where a guy can go out and strike out, we were talking about Strasburg, where a guy can go out and strike out 10, yep, but he's going to allow 9 hits. You don't get knocked for those 9 hits on FanDuel. So you don't have to worry about it. But my God, on DraftKings, on Fantasy Draft, yeah, you do. So
yes,
it's
absolutely.
Just, it's the little intricacies. I know a lot of people are going to be asking about the arcade slate on DraftKings. I have not looked deep into it. I have yet to run numbers, so I could not tell you what it is going to take yet. I've heard some people talk about things. I have yet to really dive into it. Hopefully by the end of the week, I can give you a little bit more insight, but right now, currently, I just can't.
All right, I'm trying to bring it up right now. That way, you know, we can talk about it here on the podcast, give ourselves a little bit more relevancy here. But what is it? So just like 5 hitters and 1 pitcher, and that's how it goes. Oh, boy.
Right, but the scoring is different.
Yeah, I guess so. Higher points per play, more scouting. I don't know. I mean, look, if you guys want to talk about it, I guess we could do it inside the Slack chat. I mean, I thought, you know, it'd be interesting to bring it up here on the podcast, but, you know, it's not exactly the, you know, the most easy sort of thing going on here.
Yeah, it's something that there's a new implement to the lineup sheet that's coming in today, later on this afternoon, that I've been trying to finalize. And so I put a lot of focus and attention in on that yesterday, so I did not get a chance to look at it.
All right. You know what? How about this? Let's stop talking about people throwing the balls. Let's talk about people hitting the goddamn balls. Look, we'll start off with the catchers because, you know, that's where we start. I am by far intrigued by these Baltimore catchers. I don't know what they're doing, what cycle that they've been on, but Caleb Joseph, Francisco Pena, the two of these guys are absolutely raking it. Whoever Bird Gang puts in their lineup, they're absolutely crushing it. So, whoever goes in the lineup tonight against Matt Boyd, a lefty, they're going to have the platoon advantage. Both guys are crushing it. Both guys are cheap. I mean, you know, it sucks that they're batting at the bottom of the lineup, but who cares? I mean, I had Caleb Joseph on Sunday batting ninth against Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium, possibly the worst hitting park in the entire majors. And the guy put up 31.9 FanDuel points. So,
yeah, I mean, he's been hot. He's been swinging the bat well lately. I don't have a lot of hard-breaking analysis, but other than he's been hitting the ball hard. His exit velocity is up. Shocking. And, you know, he's been a good play. So you can't really fault him for that. Catching is so loaded today. It really, really, really is. I mean, up at the top, you got, you know, James McCann going against Wade Miley. We love playing James McCann against lefties. You know, he's under 3K on both sites. You've got Martin Maldonado, who's going against Derek Holland, who crushes lefties. You know, he's under 25 on both sites. Caleb Joseph grades out really, really well. He's another cheap option. I don't think I'm spending more than $3,000 tonight on catcher. You can go to Austin Hedges. He's going to be at the top end of that $3,000 mark. He's $2,900 on DraftKings. You know, you've got, okay, so under 3K, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 catchers, either 3K or lower, that all have ISOs over 200 versus the handedness of pitcher that they're facing.
Oh, dear Lord.
You don't need to go anywhere else. You know, just between those guys, you can, one, save money, and two, get double dong upside. It doesn't make any sense on why anybody would be playing. And I get it. Guys like Buster Posey, who's been swinging the bat better. I get it. But he's almost double what these other guys are. You know, Yadi Molina is not cheap. He's 35 on both sites. Yeah, he's had a very good offensive year. He's still $3,500. You know, Tyler Flowers was a good play last night. Not so much as great of a play tonight. Not with the quality of power that I can get at the catcher position tonight. So I'm not paying up for catcher tonight.
Well, here's another way that you can go, too. Remember, Chad Kuhl is on the mound tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, again, any left-hander that goes against him, there are two left-handed options that the Nationals could possibly put out there. Whether this is going to be Matt Wieters or it's going to be Jose Leviton, whoever it may be, it's going to be a lefty going up against Chad Kuhl. So, we're going to have to see, you know, whoever the Nationals catcher is probably going to be batting eighth in the lineup, but I think either guy, you know, obviously Lobatone's going to be 2,100 there on FanDuel, Wieters there 2,800 there on FanDuel as well. Whoever it is there, they're going to be batting eighth for the Nationals there in their lineup, but keep in mind they are batting eighth, but they will also probably be on base for guys like Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy. Guys like that. So that could actually work out pretty well for them.
I mean...
Hey, lefties against Chad Kuhl. We'll get to it, my friend.
It depends.
We will get to it.
If it's Matt Wieters, he's probably going to be in that 7-hole because Michael Taylor's been batting in that 8-hole. But I could see Michael Taylor moving up to the 7-hole if Jose Lobaton is the guy that's behind the dish tonight.
Green jacket, gold jacket, who gives a shit?
Oh, come on, Happy. Go to your happy place.
Very nice, very nice. All right, again, look, I like the Baltimore. It must be a Maryland thing. I like the Baltimore catchers and I like the Nationals catchers. You like what you like. We got a lot of good things going on. All right, let's talk about first base going on here. Let's start with your boy, Mark Reynolds. He's going up against Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes absolutely sucks against right-handed batters. I love these Colorado.
He's good against left-handed batters?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying he especially sucks against right-handed batters.
Nah, I get what you're saying.
But let us start with your boy right here. You know, he's one of the hottest hitters in baseball, And he's got two career homers against Hughes. You know, like when we talk about some of these Colorado bats tonight, you know, a lot of people are going to pass over them because, I don't want to get too far into the stacks tonight, but here I go. Nolan Arenado, he's pretty expensive. There's another bat in there too, but Reynolds was the third bat that I was talking about. He's kind of expensive, especially for a Rockies bat outside of Coors Field. But again, Hughes sucks against righties. Reynolds is hot. He's got two career homers against Hughes. Let's talk about the son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a 356 ISO versus right-handed pitching this year. Okay. I mean, there's nothing. It's unbelievable. We talk about it all the time. I love stacking Rockies outside of Coors. Because nobody plays them, you know. I mean, you might get a higher ownership on Nolan Arenado, but nobody's going to play Mark Reynolds, not at first base. Not when you've got guys like, you know, Freddie Freeman, Joey Votto, Ryan Zimmerman, Miguel Cabrera. I mean, take your pick. They're all there. Justin Smoke has been absolutely just freaking crushing the ball lately. Here's the issue with this. He's freaking $4,400 on DraftKings. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he's going up against Jaime Garcia, but damn. Are you kidding me? You know, Luis Valbuena is $3,500 on DraftKings. You know, Yonder Alonso, $4,300. Oh, and I can go get Mark Reynolds at, you know, 5% owned at $4,400. Now, on DraftKings or on FanDuel, I don't think that he's an absolute must. He's not as good of a value. Not when you can go get guys like Yonder Alonso for cheaper or, you know, Luis Valbuena or, you know. Justin Smoke for $900 cheaper. But on DraftKings, where he's just as much, if not comparable, I can play the ownership card there. So outside of a full stack, I probably won't do it on FanDuel, but I can definitely do it on DraftKings.
Yeah, and if you're worried about Phil Hughes, you know,
don't.
I was going to say, if you're worried about him not being around long enough, Minnesota does have the fourth worst bullpen ERA in the American League. So
don't worry about it.
They have plenty of guys to help you out with your Colorado Rockies bats tonight. But, yeah, again, Mark Reynolds, nobody is going to play him tonight. And the guy is just as hot as anybody in the league right now. So
yeah, that, I mean, he's the whole reason why Ian Desmond right now currently is moving around the field. If Mark Reynolds isn't doing what he's doing, then Ian Desmond takes over that job when he comes off the DL at first base. But, you know, the fact that Trevor Story's on the DL right now has allowed Ian Desmond to play a game or two at short. Pat Blake has been hitting the ball really well. I mean, so you have the ability to move these guys around as you need to. It's just, they've got a lot of versatility, and it all starts with the fact that Mark Reynolds is absolutely just crushing the ball. So he's not the old strikeout guy or hit a bomb guy that he used to be. You know, he's hitting for a higher average. He's taking more walks. He's really, really, really made himself a lot better hitter, and he credits his time in St. Louis for that actually coming about. So I'm glad that we've got him. He's helped out a ton, and I'm going to continue to ride the fact that he's one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now, and nobody's going to play him.
Indeed. All right, so we talked about your favorite team. Let's talk about my favorite team. Tommy Joseph is actually
right there with them.
The best hitters in baseball, which is amazing because this guy absolutely sucked at the beginning of the season, but we got him here at 2,800 on FanDuel. Remember, we were talking about that wind out there at Globe Life Park there in Arlington, Texas. It's working out, you know, the wind situation is working out well for Tommy Joseph, so he is there. But again, Yeah, we're talking about first baseman. We'll get to the other guy on Philadelphia who's absolutely crushing the ball, but Joseph could be an interesting guy there as well. He's probably going to go way overlooked tonight, but he's still insanely underpriced for what the guy can do. Lucas Duda from the Mets. He is at 2,500 tonight. He's going to be playing. He's undoubtedly going to be in the lineup against Zach Greinke tonight. Here's my thing with Greinke. Like, you know, he's been awesome this season. You know, everybody's looked like a fool who goes up against him. But, I've watched a lot of the Mets these last couple of days because I had them go, you know, I'm here in the New York market and, you know, I had them a lot going up against the Brewers. So, you know, I've watched a lot of these guys at bats, but it seems like Duda can't get around the fastball.
He just came off the DL.
I understand. But, you know, it's the velocity that's giving him trouble. I feel like going up against a guy like Greinke where he can have time to adjust at the plate, I think he'll be just fine tonight. You know, Duda, you know, he's been batting in that five hole here for the Mets lately. I've been on the last couple days. You know, we've done this with plenty of players where we kind of ride him into the ground until he finally, you know, does what he's supposed to do. But again, he's incredibly cheap, and I know nobody's going to be on him either tonight.
As you probably shouldn't, to be completely honest.
Right. He's so cheap with home upside
that.
In Arizona.
That.
In a good spot in the lineup.
Yeah. Okay. That's fantastic, but he's not hitting the ball.
I'm advocating
a
Met, Keith. Okay.
Then advocate somebody that's actually hitting the ball. Advocate Jay Bruce. Advocate Michael Conforto.
Well, I tried that yesterday.
You know, okay, so you tried it one day. Just because it doesn't happen on one day, I mean...
Well, I've done the Granderson thing. Believe me, there's.
You're not playing the right Mets.
you got to understand how cheap some of these guys are, and they're.
Cheap they are. They're
gonna pop
too.
Off. They're gonna pop off one
not
of these days.
Not tonight against Zach Greinke.
No, probably not. Probably not. But GPP, of course, that's what we do. That's what we do. But I mean, like, you got to look at how cheap some of these guys are. It's ridiculous. You know, Neil Walker finally calmed down last night. That's fine. But again, like, there's so many cheap bats on this Mets team that can pop off.
I know how cheap they are. I've been playing them. But you got to understand, though, too, the guy looks slow. He just came off the DL. I'm not going to play a guy I'm not going to play a guy that looks like he can't get around on a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. Because Greinke's not going to throw 98, 95, or 95, 98 anymore. What he's doing is he's throwing a lot more breaking pitches. Mainly, he's throwing that slider a lot more. And that slider is diving, and it's got some serious movement. But, I mean, we saw that in Colorado. He went up against the Rockies. He threw 78% sliders that game against a team that normally crushes him. If I'm Greinke... And you're gonna if you're Terry Collins and you're gonna try to load up bats against me like that, and one of them
Why?
Okay, is Adrubal Cabrera gonna be off the DL in 3 days?
No.
So why not?
There's a fantastic soundbite with Terry Collins where a reporter asks him, I forget the question, but his response is why.
Okay, so Greinke is going to face, with the projected lineup right now, it's going to be Conforto, Reyes, Bruce, Walker, Granderson, Rivera.
Right.
Okay.
DJ Rivera, by the way, not Ben.
Yeah, depending on, you know, how he shakes that up, he could probably throw in Lucas Duda in there and take Rivera out to have another lefty, although I don't know why you would right now because... Rivera's playing a lot better than Duda is, but you're going to have these guys in there. You know, he's going to face six lefties to start off the game. Here's the issue with that is it's not like Greinke can't, you know, he might not strike out the six lefties, but he can still get ground balls.
and you expect him to at least be able to get. I've been playing Mets more as one-offs or mini stacks rather than full-on stacks since their whole lineup isn't killing, and it's mostly
I've been doing a lot of Conforto and Bruce. I've been doing a lot of two Mets.
Yeah, it's mostly been Conforto and Bruce that I've been playing with, you know, a little bit of Rivera or TJ Rivera, and then a little bit of Neil Walker.
Bruce has been absolutely annihilating lineups.
He might, if I go a one off, he might be the one off. Well, because
let's think about it, right? Like, wouldn't tonight be the perfect time for you to play Mets? I mean, honestly,
tonight would be the perfect time to play Neil Walker as a one off.
Neil's been bopping. He's been bopping lately, but.
Four of his seven hits have been home runs against Greinke. With only four strikeouts.
That's right. Four homers.
And he has the highest average exit velocity out of all of the, out of all the current Mets. The guy I wish I could play is Asdrubal Cabrera, but he's not going to be there. So.
Higgum.
Yeah. So.
As Michael Kay would say, see ya.
Yeah, well, it's Greinke's just—he's taking a different approach than what he normally is. I think last year was a good year for him to kind of rediscover himself and what he needed to do, and he's doing it now.
He's been amazing this year.
So I'm not going to try to make a living tonight when there's so many other good spots on trying to pick on Zach Greinke. I'm just not going to do it.
But I mean, again, you got to think about it. Like, how many nights in a row has everybody been trying to use these Mets bats, you know, to go off? And wouldn't tonight be the night?
I don't think so.
It could be.
Because I haven't been playing them with the hopes that they go off. Because I haven't been playing them in full stacks. I've been playing them, you know, in mini stacks. And like I said, it's mostly been Conforto and Jay Bruce. And I mean, Jay Bruce is a lifetime 189 hitter, with 11 strikeouts against Zach Greinke. So what that tells me is he can't put the ball, and you know, six of his seven hits are singles. You know, I'm not paying for Jay Bruce to go single Zach Greinke to death. You know, because because if he does, he's not going to steal a bag. You know, he needs a double at least to even think about getting home and scoring from first. And it's just, I'm not paying for Jay Bruce tonight. Not at the position where there's so many other good options. So, I'm just not doing it.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about these second basemen that we got here on the docket tonight. Now, we do know that Chad Kuhl is pitching tonight. He will be going up against these Washington Nationals. So a lefty, probably the best, I don't want to say the best left-handed hitter in the game, but Daniel Murphy is going up against Chad Kuhl. And I don't know how he's not the top second baseman.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. There's other good plays, but it's just not. On DraftKings, it's really hard because you have to pay $5,100 for him.
Chihuahua. Does that come with lube or?
No. Doesn't even come with the common courtesy of a reach around.
No.
But that you've got guys like Jed Lowry and Ian Kinsler and Starling Castro and Chris Taylor that are all in really good spots as well. You also got, like I said, Neil Walker, who has four home runs against Zach Greinke that you could play as a one-off. I don't mind Daniel Murphy. He's more, in my opinion, he's more of a guy that I'm going to put in stacks only.
Okay.
I'm not going to play him in my optimal, you know, cash type lineup because I can go get a better value, I think, for somewhere else. Even though it's a great play, don't get me wrong, it's the top play on the board.
It's an outstanding play. By the way, left-handers, 419 against Kuhl this season.
Yeah, it's just
419. Let's say that again. 419.
He ain't good.
and by the way, 419 also equates out to a 1.199 OPS as well. So
yeah, it's I mean, those are Barry Bonds types numbers.
It's pretty goddamn good. All right, so we've got that. We talked about Neil Walker, who's also a good play here. Again, he's going up against Zach Greinke, but look, he doesn't necessarily throw hard, but he's putting in the right spots.
Who, Greinke?
Yes.
I mean, like I said, Neil Walker is just basically it's a BVP play, in my opinion. It's not a great average, but you know, when you're talking five of his seven hits are for extra bases and four of those are home runs, yeah, I'll take the chance.
Four of those have reached the fans. That's good. Any other second baseman play you got?
Jed Lowry against Chase DeJong. Ooh, especially on FanDuel where he's still only 2,300. I mean, I don't mind Ian Kinsler either in Camden Yards at against Wade Miley.
They're in Detroit tonight, right?
Okay. So I don't like him near as much, but he's still a great play.
Come on, show some love to Comerica Park, bro.
And, I mean, Starlin Castro against Jason Hamill.
Oh, my God. Jason Hamill's on the slate. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I think aren't they in Yankee Stadium?
No, they are in the shithole that is Kansas City. Sorry, Chop. Yeah. Sorry, Chop. I didn't mean to say that.
He's a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Yeah, I know, but they lost the Rams, so he's in a bit of a who am I sort of period.
So he becomes a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, he's got again, Chop. We all know Chopadong, right? He's the guy that we all love around the Army, but ever since the Rams left, he's just not the same kind of guy. I don't know. I feel like Chop sort of lost himself when that happened.
If you say so.
Like he's not the songbird of his generation anymore.
I didn't think he ever was, but
oh my God, you never heard songbird? Him sing. You never heard him sing, that's why.
Damn right I haven't, and thank God I haven't.
Chop, we'll drop it. We'll drop it for the people on the late slate. Wow. You know what's crazy is that we're doing this. I mean, this kind of falls on my beefy shoulders, but we might get this podcast done before noon Eastern time.
Yeah, if we talk about the rest of the slate.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, girl.
How Chop's singing voice is supposed to right. You've make sold women me. Shake at their knees.
You've sold me. All right, let us talk about third baseman here.
Derek Dietrich against Keuchel is
second baseman for all you FanDuel folks.
Oh, okay, yeah. So wait, no, he's third base.
Wow, they changed him. Yeah, they changed him.
Yeah, they changed him. I was wondering why he didn't pop up, but. Jed
by
Jerko.
The way, not as appealing batting in the seven hole. I don't know what the Marlins were trying to accomplish yesterday, putting D. Gordon in the leadoff hole, but that's not how Dietrich rolls.
Yeah. I mean, you got Nolan. You've got Joey Gallo. You got Trevor Plouffe.
Oh.
Jed Jerko.
Jake if there was, and, if there was a guy 6% owned ass, what?
Yeah, if there was a guy that I was going to play as a one-off in Minnesota, it would be Miguel Sano, and then Manny Machado.
Miguel Sano, like he looks like he should be chased, by townspeople with torches and
Don't,
he's a monster. The man is a monster.
Yeah, and I think Chris Bryant's going to carry a lot of this ownership at the position today because he's going up against Bronson Arroyo. But do not forget the other third baseman in that game, Eugenio Suarez.
Ooh, very true, very true. He's there's a lot of Cincinnati Reds that have pretty good BVP against Lackey. We'll get to it in a little bit here, but don't forget about it. Again, Manny Machado as well going up against Matt Boyd. The Baltimore Orioles aren't as shitty against left-handed pitching as they once were. They're kind of like, they still strike out, but they're kind of improving. So
yeah, they're starting to hit for a little bit more power against them, which is good.
Thank you, Danny Duffy.
Yeah. That was the shit show.
Bastard.
Like,
I loved him, and look what he did to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. It's a conversation for another day.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, shortstops. What are you thinking about here?
I got to start with Pat Valaika.
Okay.
Who's just been absolutely crushing the ball lately. Depending on who's in that lineup playing the shortstop position, but Patrick Valaika is cheap, and he's hashtag good. You got Chris Owings, Nick Ahmed, Francisco, or well, Lindor's going to be on the early slate. Carlos Correa against Tom Kohler. Does that appease you? Zach Cozart against John Mackey.
We're going to get to Kohler when we get to stacks, but
don't play Trey Turner.
I know why you're not playing him.
Well, don't play him on DraftKings. He's too expensive. He's $4,800.
I know why you're not playing him, but he's actually, well, you know, thanks to the Phillies, he's actually got back on the good foot the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's like he had a culture shock when he left Coors Field for about 2 weeks.
So thanks for playing the Phillies.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And then, well, he's not going to be on the slate either. So, you know, yeah, those are my targets. It's going to be... I was going to say,
with Trey Turner, to be quite honest with you, I mean, you know... most of his good totals are just because he went yard. Yes, he played the Phillies in those games.
And he steals bases. But yeah, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He has to get on base in order to steal.
Yeah, no multi-hits. That's what I'm always looking at. No multi-hits.
And he's not walking right now. He's striking out. He's not walking. So he can't get on base.
Good call. Good call,
Keith. If he's not getting on base, he can't steal, which means that he's overpriced. Now, can it blow up in my face and he go, you know, 3 for 4 with 2 stolen bases and a double and 2 RBIs? Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if it did?
That would be Trey Turner trolling the hell out of me if he did, you know, but especially if I just absolutely just quoted his line, you know, at bat for at bat. But sure, what I'm saying is, you know, if you look at his numbers recently, outside of that Phillies series, he has not been getting on base enough in order to bring value by just getting on base once, stealing a base, and scoring a run, you know, because he's not driving in runs, and it hasn't happened. I think one of the bad things is the fact that he was starting to click in that two-hole, and then Adam Eaton got hurt, and they had to move him back into the one hole. Not saying that he can't, you know, suffice in the one hole, because obviously we know he can. I'm just saying that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Adam Eaton goes down, and you're putting a lot of pressure on a guy that doesn't even have a full year of service time in the big leagues. So it's just something to think about. And I love Trey Turner. Don't get me wrong. I really do. I just can't play him at $4,800 on DraftKings.
I feel you. And, you know, we've had this conversation many a times, right, where I was not sold on Trey Turner at the jump. But, you know, after what he did, you can't deny some of these numbers that he's put up. I mean, he's put up some of the best fantasy totals that we've seen. What about, you know, when he was in Colorado, when he put up the 70 points or, you know,
the 90 points?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
He has the ability to be a 30-for-30 guy, or 30-30 guy. The problem is I don't think that he's going to be a 30-30 guy hitting in that leadoff spot. He would need to be moved down to the 2 or the 5 in order – I think he's a better two-hole hitter than he is a leadoff hitter. Just because he doesn't make – right now, he's not making the contact that I would want from a leadoff type hitter.
Well, he would be much better suited there, but with Adam Eaton, you know, being gone for this season.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what hurt it.
Yeah, that certainly puts a damper on that whole thing. By the way, what the Nationals gave up to get Adam Eaton and where they are now. I mean, they're still bopping and raking, but my goodness. Just the shit end of that stick on the trade.
Yeah, and but it was paying off. I mean, you can't predict.
Oh my God, Adam Eaton was amazing.
But
amazing.
It was paying off, and that was something that was awesome.
And I used Adam Eaton plenty of times here early on in the season. Like it was a fiscally responsible move on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And then poof, gone. Just see, as Michael Kay would say, see ya. All right. That gonna be it for shortstops. Looking like so.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I think so.
All right. Outfield.
Oh gosh. Where do you want to begin?
Well, let us begin with Bryce Harper, because he is a left-handed bat going up against Chad Kuhl. And again, any left-handed bat that is going up against Chad Kuhl tonight, I don't give a shit what park. I don't even give a shit if they're in the Polo Grounds tonight. Left-handed bats against Mr. Kuhl tonight. Boom, bing, bang, boom. Just do it. Like it's going to be fantastic. I would even take Adam Eaton hurt going up against Chad Kuhl tonight. How about that?
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Oh, I went there, my friend.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen what Stanton's grade is?
I haven't, but I used them last night.
133.09.
Boy, that'd be fun. And he is going against Keuchel, right?
789 ISO versus left-handed pitching so far this season.
Here, all right. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I do think that this was way before you mentioned all that. But who is the best? I have this in my freaking notes too. This is kind of cool. Who is the best pitching wedge hitter in all the majors?
What do you mean by that?
Like who hits the best balls in the ground besides Ichiro? Stanton.
Okay, there's a joke here or something, yeah, and yeah, I'm not yeah, okay. getting it.
It was like you mentioned it. It was Stanton. Like, you know, Stanton is by far the best low ball hitter in the majors. Can we agree on that?
No.
Oh. If you say David Dahl or somebody stupid from the Rockies, I'm gonna.
I was actually gonna go Carlos Gonzalez. is better, maybe not the best, but is all
right.
Better.
All right, but can we agree that Giancarlo Stanton is pretty damn good at hitting low balls?
No.
Oh my God! What the hell?
Mainly because I don't like his swing, but two, I haven't looked at his heat map in a while.
All right,
so that's the reason.
Giancarlo Stanton is awesome at hitting low balls. Okay. And that's all that Keuchel throws. So the combination of the two should result in glorification for Stanton. Boom. GPP.
Like I said, I mean, he's a great, you know, part of a mini stack with Marcelo Zuna. But his.
What I like about Stanton here, too, and it kind of showed last night when he was facing Musgrove. So, you remember how Stanton got hit in the face with that pitch last season?
Two seasons ago, yes.
And by the way, Chris Iannetta got drilled.
Yeah, that's
right where your mustache is. He got drilled there on Friday, which was absolutely disgusting. But
yeah, I feel sorry for him on that one.
Stanton, he's not a good hitter against right-handed pitching, because I still feel like he's kind of. He's weary about.
I don't think he's a good hitter, period.
All right.
Being a good hitter and being able to hit the ball hard and far are, I think, two different things.
Well, that's fine. But again, against Keuchel, he's not a hard thrower. And again, he's not going to put it up around his face. Keuchel's going to leave it down low. And again, Stanton is a very good low ball hitter. So if you're going to use Stanton, this is probably the time to do it. Again,
I will have to look at the heat maps in order to. The
greatest spot, but if you're going to use Stanton, today is probably the day.
I'll have to look at the heat maps in order to classify exactly, because I don't feel like Stanton is as good of a low ball hitter as you're thinking he is. But I could be 100% wrong.
I think you are 100% wrong.
Okay.
Well, that's and that's fantastic. If I am, I'll be the first one to admit it. But I've long said that Stanton's swing looks like he's swinging a freaking tree trunk, and he has
That is 100% true. 100% true.
He's just not – his swing does not look like – I don't know.
No, you're like – you're completely right on that point. But tree trunks can reach the ground. Am I not right?
Well, yeah, but
– yeah, yeah.
Anyways, we spent way too much time on Stanton. Let's keep going because there's another guy that's about –
doesn't that mean that he's going to be like the, you know, the man tonight?
I think Bryce Harper's going to be, well, maybe
well,
not.
Well, no shit. He's going against Chad Kuhl, who sucks against lefties, so yeah.
Yeah, but he's...
We're trying to be fancy here.
But Bryce Harper's $1,100 more on DraftKings.
Well, we got to spend up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, but it's Bryce Harper. I mean, I honestly, here's what you do. Well, you're getting a wee bit of a discount, and you go get Mike Trout versus Derek Holland, who he's pwned.
Yeah.
And you saved yourself $200.
I thought I was hysterical last night, fading Trout. By the way, going into last night, Trout had 3 homers in 12 at-bats.
He added to that.
Yeah, and then he just went ahead and, you know, popped on top of that, but...
I went 40% Mike Trout and it still wasn't enough.
I went zero. Like, I thought I was hysterical because I knew that a lot of people were going to be on it. And Mike Pelfrey actually had a solid, you know, 10 at bat BVP history there against Trout. But again, it was, you know, it was an asshole move. Like, I shouldn't have done it. Trout has been so good lately that.
The question is who did you play to fade Trout?
Stanton and Conforto.
Yeah, that worked out
but
well.
But it was GPP, bro. You go big or you go home.
I understand that, but yeah. I'm not fading Mike Trout to go with Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, you know, you say this today.
I would say that 100 days out of 100.
All right, but I didn't hear you yesterday, so.
You didn't ask. I didn't know you faded Trout.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, why would you do such a bitch move?
It's not a bitch. Oh, whoa. Hey.
He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball.
But it's not, actually, to be quite honest with you, it's the complete opposite of a bitch move. It was kind of the ballsiest move that you could probably do in your entire life. To fade the one that they call Trout, who had hit 3 homers in his last 12 at-bats coming into Monday night.
Okay.
And by the way, Pelfrey was rolling into the fifth. And so I want to touch on this one here too. So Pelfrey is rolling into the fifth inning last night. And he's got first and third with Cole Calhoun at the plate, who – In his previous 26 at bats, had struck out 12 times. Right. So in the notes, I put this there and I say, you know what, this probably isn't a good spot for Cole Calhoun, knowing damn well that Mike Pelfrey just sucks completely against left-handed pitching. I'm sorry that Mike Pelfrey grooves a fastball right down the freaking pipe to Calhoun. I mean. He could not have put it any more down the middle if he was drawing a picture. It was like
on a platter.
It was boom right there.
He served it on a platter.
But you had to stick by the numbers, right? I mean, again, Calhoun, I get it. You know, lefties kill Pelfrey. We know this.
But that's where you go and you start to try to understand which one do you pay more attention to? The fact that the pitcher sucks? Or the fact that the hitter's so damn cold that, you know, you don't really – you can't pay as much credence to the fact that the pitcher sucks. You know, that's where you have to – and there's – honestly, you could have gone with Calhoun and he could have struck out 4 times last night.
And I knew that Calhoun would be, I don't know, at least 30% owned last night, you know. And I tried to go away from – from the masses that were going to be on Calhoun and Trout last night. You know, I tried to take the calculated numbers into it. It didn't work. It's okay, you know. I can still afford my electricity bill today.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, hey.
Because if not, anyways, then we're talking through, you know,
My neighbor's rich. I'll be fine. Don't worry. they got Wi-Fi. They got Wi-Fi. But all right. So where the hell we were on outfield? So yeah, of course, Bryce Harper going up against Chad Kuhl tonight is probably one of the best in the biz. But you know, I think in outfield that nobody's really talking about tonight, the New York Yankees. Now they are going to KC. They definitely take a major park hit, but they do take on Jason Hamill, so that means guys like Aaron Judge, Matt Holliday, Aaron Hicks, Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury, you know, somebody in that, you know, in that group of people is going to be sitting tonight. So it doesn't matter. They're all going to be great options. Hamill has a WHIP of 1.76 this season. His ERA is just a tick below 6. You know, the Yankees are going to hit tonight. It's just who's going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm one of the biggest Jason Hamill advocates. I've played that. He's made me a lot of money. I've played him for years. You know, I thought he was, you know, he's a former Rocky, but that's not why I played him. It's just, you know, I've played him a lot because he's been one of those sneaky DFS great GPP plays. But he's not the same for, and I thought that him going to Kansas City was going to help him out a ton. He's not the same. So it's, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what's going on, but he just has not looked like the same Jason Hamill that he once did.
By the way, I've never been to Kansas City. You would probably know since you're in that area, but apparently the best, by far, the best barbecue.
Oh, yeah. They tout it up, down, right, left, right.
So so maybe Hamill's just overindulging?
I mean, that's good. He's spending too much time at the Power and Light District or something.
I love barbecue. Like, I feel like I would do a number in KC.
Probably.
Like, they would accept my business 8 days a week.
It's some of the best barbecue I've ever had, but it's not like I'm...
Casey Live? You ever been there?
Nope.
I've heard good things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you on it, so...
Well, good, because you weren't gonna accept that offer. Alright, with that... Alright, so we have talked about the Nationals there with Bryce Harper, the Yankees over there. Aaron Altair, I mean, the guy's crushing the cover off the ball. I don't think anybody is going to be willing to take the chance on him that he's going up against Yu Darvish. Will you take the chance?
Maybe a little bit in a one-off. I'm not going out of my way. If he fits, then he fits. But it's not going to be, you know, oh my God, I don't have Aaron Altair. I'm, you know. That's
totally understandable.
Yeah, that's not kind of, I mean, you got to look at the position, and the position is loaded, as it usually is in the outfield.
It's insane today.
I mean, it really, really is. And you've got...
This is where
I think you should spend your money, besides pitching.
And I'm looking at it right now. The Cincy Cubs, the Cincy Reds Cubs game, loaded with outfield potential.
Oh yeah,
loaded. Yes. We're like in terms of a dollar per point perspective. Who is it? This Kibahan, Patrick Kibahan. Do we know this man?
No clue.
Okay, he's minimum price. He's actually been pretty good here over the last couple of days. They're on FanDuel, $2,000. Kyle Schwarber, Adam Duvall, Ben Zobrist, all just phenomenal dollar per point options. So I would certainly take a look at them. If we're looking else here, Alcantara there also as well from the Cubs. See, this is the thing that kind of sucks, right? If you're going to go with the Cubs, I actually was listening to their GM on SiriusXM last night. Their roster is so loaded, and good for them, right? Like they're gonna have a great time going forward with the rest of the season. But like you're gonna piss a lot of people off on that team just because they're so talented. Like they're leaving so much talent on the bench.
Yeah, well, if you don't perform, then you shouldn't play, and that's my opinion. But I also believe in the abilities to, be able to go through cold slumps as well and not have to worry about losing your job. I mean, you can't help it. Dude, these guys want to get back to the World Series, and they're not going to do it if these guys aren't performing. I don't know what they got to do it, but they better figure it out quick, because one of the only reasons why they haven't really lost a lot of ground is because that division's not very good.
They suck.
Their pitching hasn't been great. Their hitting's been horrible. It's just been bad.
They're lucky. I mean, they'd be even a little more lucky if the Mets were in their division. But hello. That's the sole purpose that the Phillies aren't in the cellar right now.
Yeah.
Fuck the Mets. That's right. I said it.
So, I mean, you've got a lot of things that they've got to work out still. God, who is it? Jake Arrieta hasn't looked good this year.
Oh, not terrible.
Not for what Jake Arrieta usually is. So, I mean, you're sitting there going, well, what needs to change? I mean, they called up Ian Happ,
who is in my notes. Thank God that you brought him up, or I would have forgot about him. He's in my notes today. So cheap. If he's in the starting lineup today,
you got to play him. He's been.
You got to.
I mean, he's 3,600 on DK, so he's not like he's free over there. But on FanDuel,
the only place I play. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you can play him on FanDuel, and you can get away with it. And I mean, I love the play. And he's another one of their top prospects. And the way that they're saying with these guys is, we're going to bring them up, we're going to play them, and we're going to send them back down. We're going to use them. But if these guys keep coming up and playing and they're performing and the guys that they have up there aren't performing, I mean, how can you send them back down?
It's hysterical because – you say that about the Cubs, and it's like, oh,
the Dodgers are saying the same thing.
Well, they got this guy. They just have a stockpile of dudes. And, you look at their roster, even from the World Series team, you got guys like Javi Baez, and, you can go all the way down to, just keep going and going with this team. But they are loaded, not even for the World Series team that they had, even going forward. They have, three layers of just solid bats that they got on that team. Even a guy like Matt Suger,
who got traded to the Padres.
Yeah, who is in San Diego right now. He was expendable. That's where he is right now, so... that's what the Cubs are doing right now. But yes, Ian Happ, if he is in the lineup tonight, go for it, especially against Bronson Arroyo. Happ's a switch hitter, but again, Arroyo is not going to dominate you on the other side of the plate. But again, Happ's probably going to be in a nice spot in the lineup tonight, somewhere from the 2-6 range. But again, if he's in the lineup tonight, make sure you got him, because that is guaranteed production, my friends. And by the way, the Cubs have just absolutely been struggling like no other. Tonight's the night that they get out of it.
You think so?
I do think so. Bronson Arroyo.
Who pitched a gem last game.
Like we've talked about this before, right, where a guy like a Bronson Arroyo or a Jared Weaver being too slow of a pitcher, that could throw off a team's hitting. This is exactly what the Cubs need tonight. They need batting practice, and oh boy, they're going to get it.
No, they're not, because they throw slower than batting practice.
Nope, it's happening. You know what they're going to do? The Rowan Gardner. Lob it in. Lob it in.
Oh, my gosh.
A garden hoser.
Rosenbagger. Rudenferter.
Frankenfurter. It's going down tonight. I like the Cubs tonight. I do. I like them a lot. I think they're going to get off the schneid. So I dig it. I dig it. Any other outfielders we're talking about here?
Nope, not really.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, is there's a lot. And you can go through, Charlie Blackmon, Andrew Benintendi, Corey Dickerson, some of those guys are in that, you know, Marcelo Ozuna, Nelson Cruz, Justin Upton, Aaron Altair.
Joey Rickard.
Avis,
he's going up against the lefty Joey Rickard,
Dexter Fowler, Avisel Garcia, Lourdes Gurriel, Ben Zobrist, Franklin Gutierrez. I mean, just pick your...
There's so many. Just stay in touch with us in the Slack chat.
Yeah, there's not going to be enough to be able to fit on the actual cheat sheet.
Ooh, ooh. Yes, it's going to be nice. Hey, guess what? We finished the podcast before. Well, it is noon right now on the East Coast, so that is like a new record for us. I'm very excited about that. And we can watch Christine Leahy with our boy Colin Cowherd now.
I actually have work to do.
Ah, you son of a bitch. Well, I do too, but I'm a multitasker. All right, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, make sure you do so. Me, myself, Al Walsh, I am at 14A.Walsh. You can follow Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. Make sure you follow the DFS Army as well at DFS Army. And if you want to join the DFS Army, if you're not a member, go to the website, dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code podcast. It'll get you a little cheaper. We got monthly and yearly subscriptions that you can get down with. For me, for Keith, for the rest of the DFS Army, we go. Peace.
Peace out.